There's a guy who saw me beforehand and just went, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing great. We're just doing this thing." I'm like, "Oh, that's fantastic. Listen, man, you look really healthy. You're the healthiest I've seen you look in a long time. You know, good. I'm really looking forward to seeing the show." Okay, great. Walk away. Now, I can take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Or I can take that as, what the fuck have I looked like the last couple of times I've seen this guy? Like, when someone's saying, like, you look not, you're looking good.
Yeah.
You're looking healthy.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Oh, last time you saw me, I was in the emergency ward. Yeah, that's right, because I had the tubes up my nose. No, what the fuck does that mean? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. This show is 86th, meaning it's episode 8. We're not canceling the show yet. All right. We got all your letters saying maybe it's time to wrap it up. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're going to keep going for a while longer. And then, you know, eventually we'll crash and burn. But it is episode 86. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
That is my co-host, David Dedrick, you're hearing right over there. You were asking earlier, was there a character on TV called 86? Yes, Agent 86, Maxwell Smart, on the show Get Smart.
That's what I was thinking. Then I started panicking and thinking it was 96. But that's the song. No, it isn't a song, is it?
Are you thinking 99 Red Balloons?
I was thinking 98.6, actually, by Keith.
Okay.
I think that's how it goes, isn't it? Hey, 98.6, that's good to have you back again.
Okay, Dave's just making something up. What you might be thinking no, is Agent 99, who Maxwell Smart married later on in the episode. That was Barbara Feldon, Agent 99. The very sexy Agent 99.
Oh, well, who is 86 then?
That would be Maxwell Smart, who I said earlier. First thing I said out of the gate, not too much to remember so far in the show, about 40 seconds worth of material.
He was Get Smart. 86 was...
He wasn't Get Smart. He was Maxwell Smart on a show called Get Smart.
His nickname was Get.
In the final days.
His nickname was Get, though, right?
That's right. His nickname was Get.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
It was like that movie, Get Shorty? Is that what was that movie? Is that called Get Shorty?
Yes. It's a movie with
Before
John Travolta.
Stay Cool. Or
Be Cool.
Be Cool. Why not stay a bit cool?
Stay Shorty.
Stay Shorty. Why not take a psychological test? I think it was called.
That's right.
Did you ever take that Scientology psychological test?
I did not.
I took it once. If you're a guy who likes to get a lot of phone calls, either do one of two things. One, take the Scientology psychological test.
Okay.
Or two, draw the picture of the pirate and the turtle in the Can You Draw This Pirate and This Turtle? And then you'll get phone calls from the Art Institute saying, "You've got potential, buddy." And then you'll get a call from Scientology going, "You've got problems." Now, if you could just combine Scientology with the Art Institute and have and draw away your problems, then we'd be set and they could just take all my fucking money.
So if you drew a picture of an engram and a turtle, that would have just been murder.
Absolutely.
You never could have used the phone.
That's absolutely right.
Okay.
Now, we always forget to throw our plugs in. We always say we're going to throw plugs in at the beginning of the show, and then we always do it at the end. And, you know, I'm not saying you won't be listening at the end, but, you know, let's be honest. So I'm going to plug a couple of things here,
okay,
Dave.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
First of all, hey, you like wearing a shirt? We've got shirts at the Sneaky Dragon webpage.
Ooh, can I just say a couple things about that before
Absolutely.
You go on?
Absolutely. Dave, this is Dave's shirt chat.
One
it's
is...
time for shirt chat with Dave.
Shirt chat. Anyway, shirt chit chat. One thing is we have lady sizes available.
Whoa.
So if you are a lady and you need a lady size, we have those available.
Or if you're a fella who just likes wearing a lady size.
Sure.
I used to have a friend. She was a lady and she shopped at Baby Gap.
Really?
Yeah, because that's where she had a shop at the children's section.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, she then got a sitcom in Canada and now is a millionaire. The end.
Was she a small person, or she just liked to show off her midriff?
She is a small person. Okay. That's right.
So that, and also someone requested a different design than what we have available.
Oh, okay.
Because she really liked that design.
And it was a design that you... Now, she's not just requesting a design someone else has created. She
didn't
want
that's
to keep
right.
on trucking.
She wanted to keep on trucking, but with Sneaky Dragon. Oh, that would be a good one. But anyway...
Keep on dragging.
Keep on dragging.
Well, or keep on sneaking.
I think we know the title card for this week already.
Okay. Keep on sneaking or keep on dragging.
Keep on sneaking. That's the best one.
Okay.
Keep on sneaking. Don't you think so?
I do think so.
Okay.
You know what? I think you should just stop doing the podcast now. Start working on that title card. We just end the episode right now and just like coast on our title cards.
So it was the design of the tattoo, my tattoo design that I did for Branwen.
Right.
Way back in show 30 something.
Branwen Bigglestaff.
And that's fine. If you would like a design, I can't, not all of them can be done. Some of them, they're, because I had to steal a lot of images from the internet and paste, you know, sort of computer paste.
Right. This would be your confession. You have now said this on air that you steal images from the internet.
I take images from, I copy them and I paste them into Photoshop and then I just put Sneaky Dragon
into
pictures.
You do an homage.
It's an homage. That's right. It's called a tribute, people. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly legal. The only problem is most of them are 72, whatever it is. The
DPI?
DPI, I guess. They're just not enough. They can't be made bigger without looking like Donkey Kong on a television
If you blow
screen.
More than a 60 DPI, you cannot drive.
If you blow... That's right. Forget it. I was going to make a Rod Stewart joke, but forget about it.
Okay.
So...
wouldn't be the first, wouldn't be the last.
not for me.
Come again? It's time for Tapes, Rod Stewart joke of the week. Go.
So then... But if it's one that I drew, like, from scratch or that I, you know, I guess I have to be scratched, then
right.
They're big enough that I could do it. So if you have one that you like a lot and you think I might be able to, it might be usable, then you're welcome to request it and I'll let you know if
now,
we can do it.
Now, here's the thing. Normally you base these on.
And.
Okay, go ahead, please.
You can write us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. And
sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Yeah, or go to our webpage. You can link on there. You can go to our Facebook page. Awesome. We wanted to plug all those pages.
Sure.
Oh, we also got a Twitter. Do that too if you want.
Sure. You can tweet us.
That's right. Or Friendster. I don't know. We got to get on Friendster.
You can friend us.
This is actually kind of nice because like that Keep On Sneaking would be, I was going like, oh, that's a great idea. But you haven't used it as a title card, so we can't make it as a t-shirt. But if you make it as a title card, it can then be a t-shirt. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, man.
This is
Looper, baby. We're loopering.
Yeah. Loopering.
That's right.
Yeah.
The film Looper, predicted by Big Bird on the old Sesame Street TV show. When he used to call the guy who worked at the store Mr. Looper. Why? Because he knew he was a time traveler. And as soon as Mr. Hooper died, there was a new child on the street who looked a lot like him the next day. Why? It's that old thing. Time looping.
I was going to make a joke about the movie Lupus, but then I realized it's called Lucas, so forget about it.
That's right. So you'd make a joke about the disease. Fantastic. All right. Now, if you want to come and see Dave and I live together, you can't. We're not doing a live show for a long time. It's our first time not doing a live show in a while.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of live shows. We don't like dressing up. We don't like putting on deodorant. We're just going to, no, we're not doing it together for a while. But hey, you want to come and see me? And God bless you if you do. Critical Hit Show is happening on July 31st at the Rio Theater. That's where we do a live D&D show.
Last Wednesday of the month.
Yeah, and that show's been near selling out lately. So get there early or get your tickets in advance, the Rio Theater. And the next week, because the Rio on Wednesdays is now Indie Comedy Wednesdays, basically. Best Indie Comedy in the city. I've got a new show I'm starting there called The Serial Killers. And what happens there is we murder people.
Wow.
No, we do not. What we do there is we take old serials and we redub them with comedy dialogue that we sort of do on the spot.
Sure.
So this our first show. We're taking
on. We're
going
to be doing Frosted Flakes.
This show, now you've interested Torrent because he likes anything serial related.
Oh, yeah.
That's our caustic soda, buddy. This time around, we're taking on Superman with the old serial Superman Comes to Earth. That's Kirk Allen, and it's the interesting thing about this one is both Dave and I, if you listen to past episodes, know we did not care for Man of Steel. A lot of the same things happen in Man of Steel as happen in this 1940 serial, Superman Comes to Earth, but they deal with things more sensibly in this serial. So, you know, if it's a good follow-up to Man of Steel. Come and see it just for that.
Okay.
You know, but we'll also be showing some cartoons, some Max Fleischer Superman cartoons. We're going to show some other stuff. We're going to do some live action.
Are you just going to show them, or are you going to do voices over
dibby dubba dubba da. And then it's going to be dibby dubba dubba da. We're going to do some dubstep. And then we're also going to have live action figure comedy sketches. So we're going to take some action figures and do stuff live action with them.
Wow, okay.
Some of those action figures you see on my wall right now will be on stage.
Oh, so will you be using the Superman?
I will there's multiple Supermans on my wall. You're seeing a Darwin Cook there and a Jack Kirby, Dave is.
Okay.
I don't know which one I will be using, but we will determine it then. Anyway, that is August 7th at the Rio Theater. Hope to see you there.
What time?
That would be doors open at 7, show is at 8.
Great.
And you can drink and have a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes, you can.
Or have some popcorn.
That too. You can drink and have some popcorn. You can pour your beer on your popcorn.
Dude, let me tell you this much.
Have beer batter popcorn.
It's $7 at the door, but it's $5 if you order in advance. And $5 for air conditioning alone is worth it.
Yeah.
Just the air conditioning.
Yeah.
$2.50 an hour for air conditioning in this economy.
Yeah.
And you get entertainment.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to listen to it, who cares? put in some earplugs and just watch the visuals. There you are. So anyway, David, how are you? I haven't seen you for 2 weeks.
I know, it's been weird. Well, you've had a more exciting time than I have. Okay. So let's recap
the last time we saw each other.
Okay, let's recap.
All right, we were at our Scientology meeting, and you were drawing a turtle and explaining to me how this represented your psyche.
Yeah.
And you went, I'm tortoising up. I'm ducking and covering from life.
I'm like Xenu warrior princess.
That's right. Has that ever been done?
Probably a million times.
Okay, fair enough. So we did a live show with our friends Caustic Soda, and we did at the EXP Lounge, which I still don't know how to pronounce. I was hoping at some point when we were there, someone would say the name of the place out loud. Someone would answer a phone and go, EXP Lounge, and I'd know.
EXP Lounge.
Yeah, EXP Lounge.
That's probably what it's called.
Probably is.
EXP Lounge.
But I got to say, I did like it because it was like full of video game stuff. And
well,
I do like video
games.
Well,
that's the thing. And their menu... All the menu items were video game related names. So it was like, I can't even remember any because I don't, you know, my video game knowledge is so hopeless. But, you know, they were all like, you know, there was like something related to Portal. So it was like the Portal Hot Wings. That's obviously not what it was, but you know what I mean, right? Like, so, you know what I mean? So it was like
I would say
donkey.
Onion rings. If I was a Portal thing, I would go onion rings because they're like rings.
Sure.
I would say that would be a good thing for that. Like a Tomb Raider. I'm trying to think what you could have for a Tomb Raider. I can't think of anything for Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Like Sonic Hedge hot dogs.
Whatever. We would not work well at that place. Now, when you get your bill.
But that's what they had.
When you get your bill, does it say game over?
That's right.
And then they shoot you. Oh, yeah. I was going, there's a countdown on it if you want to order dessert.
You have to fight the boss to get dessert. It helps. And it helps because it takes a little bit of the food.
If you do beat up the boss who works there, you do get your meal free. That is true.
And you get fired if you work there.
Mm-hmm. Because your family went there to see our live show.
Yes, they did.
Which was last week's show, if you listened to the show. And I saw your family eating the biggest bowl of popcorn I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it was okay. I couldn't go along with their choice, which was because it had cheese on it.
Oh, and Parmesan?
Something like that. Yeah. Didn't work very well. Cause it's not flavorful enough cheese to carry that. They needed... There was other flavors that looked better to me, but they, you know.
What was wrong with butter? What's wrong with just butter? I think we've solved that popcorn problem in the past.
I like a flavored popcorn.
You go to
England,
and they just have not discovered this butter business. You go there, and you get your salty or your sweet popcorn. Mm-hmm. It's like the salty popcorn is salt.
Yeah.
And then sweet, they put some sort of like sugary mix on there.
Yeah.
Butter, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. I think we've locked that in. Butter on popcorn, fantastic. We've established
good.
That.
That's good.
Dear UK, check it out. Check it out.
I guess caramel corn is kind of butter on a popcorn as well.
Yes, it would be. You're absolutely right.
So, and then, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. And then
you were going to say you did a lot of mime at the show.
What I heard about the show, that's right, I did actually. But what I heard about the show was, when I was there, was that the restaurant's original plan was that you could play video games at your table.
Oh, okay.
But of course... BC's archaic licensing laws or liquor licensing laws didn't allow for that to happen. So you cannot play games in a place that serves alcohol.
What if someone pulls out their iPhone and starts playing a game of Bejeweled?
That's fine, but you can't have them in the table or at the table. I don't know why. It's weird.
Well, wait a second, David. Mm-hmm. Let me say this to you.
Okay.
We are right now, I'm not going to say specifically where we are in this building because I don't want to have people locate where Hell Kitty Studios is.
Sure.
Because we've got a meth lab here.
Exactly,
and I don't want
right.
people taking our meth.
No.
But let's just say in the same building that we're at.
I've always called you a method actor.
That's right. We have the Wallflower Restaurant.
Yeah.
And one of their tables is a Ms. Pac-Man game.
Can you play it while you're sitting there?
I don't see why you couldn't. I can't see.
Is it on though? Is it like
it's on? But like, I wonder if like, I mean, they don't normally seat you there, but it's right next. The table has two. It's like tables, 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 and then one thing is a Ms. Pac-Man game with two seats.
Yeah.
Much like the same thing. I can't see why anyone would not take their soup or whatever over to the Ms. Pac-Man and eat it while the other person is playing the game because it's one of those.
Hey, I'm not going to grasp them out because apparently it's not legal to do that.
Right.
So, you know, let's just keep it on the down low, as
okay.
they say.
That seems very strange. We had a thing.
This is just what I was told at the show, right?
We had a thing once at the Urban Well. It no longer exists. And one of the reasons it no longer exists is because at one point someone got up and with a friend danced to some music.
Yeah.
That was just playing,
mm-hmm.
not like a band or anything, but just some music. And they started dancing. And there was a gentleman in the bar from the government. And they went, no. And they shut them down for like a month and a half because you could not have dancing in that location.
Yeah.
And you go, David, it's political correctness gone mad.
That seems, I wouldn't.
That's just madness. It's madness. Mm-hmm. And the Real Theater, which I've been plugging like crazy, they had their own share of liquor, you know, problems, yeah. Which is like.
Well, we've talked about an earlier show.
We've well talked about that. But does the Liquor Control Board do anything that's worthwhile? I mean.
They control liquor.
Do they?
Which could run wild.
Do they?
Beer bottles running around the streets.
Now, you remember.
Just smashing themselves on the ground.
You remember being a young man and you were not a drinker, but you were aware of other people who were like 15, 16.
Bottles of gin playing rummy everywhere.
Did they have any problems finding liquor, drinking liquor? No. Of course they didn't.
You went into your parents' liquor cabinet.
So that battle is fucking lost, right? So what you want to control is fucking lost. So what do they do now? They're making them someone dance so you're shut down for a month and a half. What's that business? Which is one of the reasons I think that the guy who ran the place went, I'm selling. Because this is too much of a pain in the ass. Yeah. If someone dances again, I'm going to lose my shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just bullshit. Absolute bullshit. Liquor control board, a boo, I say to you. A boo. And I'm a non-drinker, really. But a boo. You put the boo in booze control.
Yeah, I'm a non-drinker, but I think the liquor laws are insane. And it just.
Yeah.
It
once they got Al Capone, we should have shut down all the liquor laws.
Like, it kills me that, you know, like, your show sounds really great, but I can't bring Millis and Phyllis to that show. Because the liquor licensing laws don't allow minors in a show where alcohol is being served.
Right, and I'm sure that, you know, your older daughter, she has peers who have ne'er tasted booze, because how could they?
Oh, yeah.
How never. Could they,
no,
David?
No, it's not
they,
out there.
They would not. Nay, nay,
oh,
Dave.
Never,
no,
never.
Nay. Nay, day, nay.
A naysayer.
It's funny. Yesterday, my wife and I, we took our niece and nephew to Science World, and we ran into a couple of people, and one of them brought up Adults Day at Science World, which they have once in a while.
Okay.
And what you do is you
and
can
it's
actually
empty there.
No, it's full.
Oh wow.
Because it's adults doing all the Science World stuff without kids around, but you can drink.
Oh, okay.
So apparently the adults are rougher with the stuff than the kids are.
Yeah, I would think so.
Because drinky, that. But I went to one of them, and it was one of the worst, and they decided to have comedy there, science stand-up comedy.
Okay.
Worst audience I've ever seen for stand-up comedy. Adults who've been drinking in a science area. Terrible. Terrible.
Well, most, let's just get this clear. Most audiences for stand-up who are drunk are terrible.
Can be, yes.
Can be pretty terrible.
You really have to be in the right mindset, yeah.
Okay.
There is the friendly drunk.
So take this down.
But they are, even friendly drunks are a bit of a pain in the ass.
Because they want to be friendly with you on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you're saying. I agree with you.
What
you're saying is true.
What you want is the quiet giggler. You want that person who's just like,
yeah.
That person, just that right level of loosen them up. They're just having a good time and they don't care. That guy.
Yeah.
You want that guy.
Yeah.
But
He's a rare fellow.
He's a rare fine.
He's a rare drunk.
Yeah.
The friendly drunk. Kind of rare, I think.
It is. And now, with all the sex stuff they got at the Science World, oh, it would be crazy. Oh, I don't even want to see where the drunk adults would be doing about that business. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's even worse at the body show.
Oh, well, you mean the one with the body? Well, here's the thing. Like,
yeah, the one with the bodies.
Well, no,
that's
I'll tell
it's called
you.
The body show.
Well, let me just tell you. Like, we were there, right? And there's the one that's like the science of sexuality, which could not be bigger, the sign.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. And I got like the...
Sounds great.
I got the 11-year-old. Actually, I've been to it, and actually it is great. But I'll tell you about that in a second. So I got the 11-year-old, and I got the 8-year-old. And it's the 11-year-old boy, you know, who's like, I'm going in. No, you're not. No, I'm going in. No, you're not. And then next to it is Body Worlds.
Body World, yeah.
Okay, but Body World is not Body Works. Oh, no, Body Works, but Body Works is not Body Worlds.
Okay.
So I thought it was that one, which is all the bodies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, listen, I'm going to explain to you what this might be. Here we go. And he's like, what? And like, well, it's people, but they're dead. I'm describing it in a horrific way, trying to be gentle about it. And I'm like, listen, I don't know if it'd be okay for your sister. So what I'm going to do, let's you and me go in. And if at any point you go, let's get out of here, we're getting out of here.
Yeah.
And we go in and it's like, oh, this is just like how your body works. Okay. You had too close a name. Everything's fine. And then we walk in, of course, and then they've got human brains and stuff, real organs that are there, and that just, like, freaks people out.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and we had to explain what sperm was, because there were sperm all over the walls. I'm not meaning, like, the old video store I used to work in.
Yeah.
I mean, there's cartoon sperms going, howdy! And it's like, I'm a sperm, and how you doing? And it's like, there's no way I can, you know, steer away from this, so.
But even if you explain it, it doesn't help take that image of sperm saying, how you doing? Back to reality, does it? Like, now what do you think? They're, you know, I can't wait till I'm going to go home and masturbate. This is going to be awesome. All these little guys coming out saying hello.
Yeah, they basically look like the scrubbing bubbles, but they do a very, very different job. Let me just say, the Science of Sexuality exhibit, if you've got like an early teenager, it's fucking fantastic.
This doesn't really occur to me. I don't know why I never thought of this before, that my mom had to clean up that stuff. I never thought about it before.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing now.
Of course it is. As well it should be.
Shoot. I'm glad it occurred to me
you
now.
You didn't have boys.
No.
So you avoided that.
Different bodily fluids.
Of course you did, yeah. Different. But. You know what? You become a parent, there's going to be some fluids.
There's going to be fluids.
Yeah. That's what your doctor should say when it's like, I've got some good news.
Are you prepared?
And it's like, yeah, there you go. And listen, I'm going to give you a book called The Fluids That You... It's a Dr. Seuss book.
It's called...
The Fluids You Will See.
I thought you'd say it's a fluid situation.
Sure.
There you go.
And it just lists all the different fluids that will go on and like what you'll find and what will mean and all the way up to a cigarette butt in a beer that you find.
That's the grossest one.
Yeah, in the back of your toilet tank that someone hid back there because you were coming in.
When my friend Rob and I, when we used to do Generic Drivel, our fanzine, together, we decided it'd be a great idea to do like a benefit show. And so we.
For masturbation.
For masturbation. Benefit for masturbation. But we convinced a few.
It was sort of a Hands Across America thing. A little ahead of its time.
We had the Circle Jerks play. And so we got some local bands to play, including No Fun, past guest David M's band. And they came and they played for free. And we bought beer and we brought the beer in and we sold the beer. And then the horrible thing, though, is that we had to sleep overnight because the show went so late. We were taking the bus home. There's just no buses. So we had to sleep in this place where people had been smoking and drinking beer.
Mm.
So I had to sleep in this. And then we had to clean it all up, like collect all the beer bottles in the morning. And I'd say almost half of them had that horrible cigarette and beer mixture. That's just disgusting. Disgusting.
Absolutely.
And if I wasn't already a non-drinker, that really would have pushed me over the edge into rabid teetotalism.
Well, there's a thing that's going on right now where they're trying to make it so that you can return cigarette butts for money because they want people to clean up the cigarette butts.
That's a good thing because I don't think people realize it's littering, and I always see smokers throwing their cigarette butts out of cars.
The general idea right now would be cent a butt, and so you collect 100 of those, and that's $1. And it seems like, that seems like real hard work, but there's places where there's just loads, right? So, yeah, you just pick them up, put them in a bag, and, they're going to just go, yeah, that looks like $1's worth to me. Fair enough. And there you go.
They can weigh them.
Yeah, they can weigh them, or they can do whatever they want. But I think it's a really good idea. I mean, that's the thing with that's one of the only forms of recycling that super works is, like, cans.
Yeah.
It's because people collect cans. But let me just go back really quick to the science world and the science of sexuality.
Sure, sure. Sure.
You go into this thing, and it's one of those where the first thing you see is pictures of people at different ages, and they're just like frank pictures of people at different ages naked.
Okay.
You're like, what? Okay, I'm not sure about this. Let's go in.
Yeah.
And it like all the questions are answered in a way that if you don't want to know, brother, you don't have to know. But if you want to know, they'll tell you it, and they'll tell you it in a real basic way that's like, oh, that's it. Ah, that's fine. It's not a hee-hee-hee, or you don't have to, ask your mom, and your mom has to go, ooh, boy, it's a, and God help you if you ask your guidance counselor, and you're not going to ask your friends, because they're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, someone's going to have this information, and if you go on the internet, it's going to give you all the wrong shit, because it's going to take you everywhere else. It just went, yeah, this is exactly what you need. Like, this isn't that stupid fucking meeting you had when you were in sixth grade, and they separated the boys and the girls, and you had the awkward gym teacher come in and sit on the chair and go, now, I know a lot of you have a lot of questions, and he just does not want to answer them.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can ask anything you want. Oh, yeah, in this forum, this is the best place to ask the things.
Should I be touching myself?
That's right. Yeah, just the worst.
Shrink.
Here's a film from the 60s. And it's just like, oh, boy.
The wonders of sexuality.
Yeah, this was really well presented. Gave you all the information you need to know. There were some cartoons. It did it all well.
Some cartoon sperm.
That's right. It's like, and it wasn't judgmental on either way. Like, if you've got, certain values or religious values or whatever, it's like, you're still fine. Just like, you're still going to be fine. Like, if you go in with your kid, you could, the nudity off the top is a bit like, what are you going to do? And then after that point,
I think if you're really religious, that's going to do it for you.
Well, but if you're really, really religious, then you're fine, right? Because you're going to be one of those really religious ones who are like, it's just the body. Who cares? You got to be that certain amount of, oh, no. I know. I'm talking like a Mr. Rogers type, right? The guy was a nudist because who the hell cared? It's just a body. You got to be a little bit.
Was he a nudist?
Yes, he was. He used to swim nude in the pool every day.
So did Dinah Shore.
So did most boys at the Y, you know, into the teen years, because who gives a shit? Because if you're not like, ugh, then who cares? The only time you care is if someone brings up the, you know, ugh, and
when
then it becomes.
The only time you care is when you're a teenage boy.
You do. I mean, that's the thing.
Did you strip naked in gym class, like in the locker room? I'm not saying in the class itself. But
no,
in locker
but that
room.
Was because my school was stupid.
I went to the same school.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was a stupid school full of jerks, you know.
But I stripped naked.
Okay, that's fine. Good on you. You know, I wasn't doing well wearing pants. I wasn't going to take it to the next fucking level, you know. So
there were boys who like put their pants over their gym shorts.
Sure, that's fair enough.
There were other ones who proudly walked around letting it all hang out.
No, I know people, though, that
I fell somewhere in the middle.
I know people that are quite religious that, you know, they're so religious that it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know, because like, no, we don't care about that, because why would you care about that? Hmm. Meh. But you got to be that certain amount of, you know, to make it matter. But it's a really good exhibit, and if anyone's in Vancouver, it's worth taking a little walk through. You might learn something.
Sounds interesting. My kids are past that age where they want to go to Science World now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when they were younger, we went for birthdays and things like that. But it seems those days are done.
Well, when your daughter is old enough to drink, which will be shortly, and she can go to things at the Rio, she might want to go to adult night at the Science World. It might be a little different. Go with the grown-ups.
Yeah, maybe.
And check it out. And sure. Don't go into that one together, because no one will want that. Just you go look at the I was going to say look at the beaver. That seems wrong. Look at the Tyrannosaurus Rex that's there. And look at the tarantula and all the other things. Go the one where you see the hearts and the lungs and whatever. Go check that out and let her do her business and check things out.
Okay.
And you'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you go in afterwards. You might learn a thing or two.
I might.
Yeah.
There's lots I don't know.
And if you want it to be even sexier, they also play it in French. You can go, ooh la la.
As a succession of teenage girlfriends will attest, there's lots I don't know.
Wouldn't that be awful if, like, you go in there and it's all your teenage girlfriends? They're just still waiting there for you. It's like, finally, let me show you how this shit will work. Here's the giant model. Here's how it goes.
This is not where it's located, Dave.
That's right.
Well, when
it's not located in Berquitlam.
For a long time.
Ooh, that sounds like a sexual thing. Berquitlam. The Berquitlam area. Yes.
Split Berquitlam. For a long time, I don't know why I thought this. This might be a little too graphic for the show. If it's too graphic, just stop me right away.
Dave, if it's too graphic, talk to the editor of the show and have him take it out.
I'm not going to take it out, but you can stop me if you think it's too much. I don't know why I thought this, but I thought that a woman's vagina was directly on their front, basically. Not between their legs, but right in front of, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So if you're looking straight at them, you would be looking into their vagina.
Makes sense.
I thought this for, like, a very long time. Just because that seemed to make sense to me how it would work.
Right.
The man and the woman would just kind of fit together like a key in a door.
That's right.
And then, but even when I saw pictures, like, for some reason, I was looking in a book and there was naked pictures of little girls in it. It was like a book of, I don't know what it was. I probably was looking at it because it had naked women. But anyway, it had women from various ages,
that
right?
Was the Yellow Pages. Those of you that don't remember what the Yellow Pages used to look like, it was half local businesses and the rest was people in the area, portraits of them naked, which was how local businesses got people interested in reading the Yellow Pages.
I didn't know that because this was at a bookstore that I was
reading.
You
do not
want
to read the White Pages.
No, really?
No.
Oh, dear.
No, sir.
So I was looking at it and there was pictures of girls, pre-pubic hair.
Yeah.
And there's nothing visible. So in my tortured, weird brain, I thought, oh, it must move, you know, so it must move upwards as they get older. Rather than just thinking, oh, I've totally mixed up.
Now, but what age did you realize, I'm not being sarcastic here, what age did you realize that wasn't the case?
I don't remember.
Would you say 14 you realized?
Probably a little, 15? Probably a little older than that.
A little older than that? Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. You need fucking Science World. This is the thing. You know, people
this
get...
This is why there's
people,
a Science World.
Honestly, this is the thing. Like, there's things that are in here that you just go like, ah, obviously. Thank you for the spoilers.
But the thing of it is,
just
is,
let me know
I
the
had,
goddamn information.
We had our body world or whatever you want to call it, or how things work or whatever, because I had you know, Playboy magazine sitting in the woods.
Yeah, that's tough.
The problem was it was the 70s.
Everything's covered in hair. Who knows what's what? That's right.
Exactly.
You got to get through the, you're like in the, which it's called Shining, and you got to get through the labyrinth,
yeah.
And you're going to get lost, and you're going to freeze to death. Don't worry about it. The thing
exactly.
to do is to walk backwards through it, and then they will not be able to catch you. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, when both P and I were going to this exhibit, we both went, oh, this is perfect. Yes, this is needed. Like, you almost, like, want to go, this is free. If you're between the ages of 12 and I don't care, adult. Like, I don't care. There's probably like old ladies that are walking through this going, that's how you do it? That's fantastic. Like anything from 12 on or whatever, you should get into that section free and we just like have an easier life. If I had, it would have made at least 3 years of my life easier before I figured out business. God damn it. Stupid gym teacher not telling you nothing, sitting down with his stupid sweaty fucking shirt. Screw that guy.
It's part of the fun.
It is not part of the fun.
It's part of growing up. Humiliation.
Oh, you're going to
awkward stumbling.
You're going to be humiliated regardless.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But be humiliated with the information.
I don't know. That's somehow worse.
I mean,
if you know it and you still blow it, that's worse.
Look, I want you to know how a gun works before you go out with it. Now, seriously, you're still going to shoot yourself in the foot. I get that. But you're not, you know, it's not going to be as bad.
That's
learn
worse,
the basics.
That's
what's
worse.
What's worse?
What's worse? Your friend Fred, who had no knowledge of a gun and went out with it one day and shot himself in the foot. Or your friend Joe, who knew all about guns and went out with it one day and shot himself in the foot. What seems worse?
What seems worse?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you. The guy who shoots himself in the foot, who knows everything about guns, knows what to do when you shoot yourself in the foot. So he's going to make it back out of the woods alive. The other guy is a mountain lion snack. And he's going to go, the mountain lion's coming. I wish I knew how to shoot the gun. It's not blammo in my hand.
They're both in their backyards where they shouldn't be playing with guns. But okay, they're both in their backyards.
Once again, guy who knows how things work and what goes on,
yeah.
you know, can at least shoot a warning shot in the air and then go like, and someone comes up, was that a gun? Yeah. Hi, it's me. And the other guy's going, how do I reload? How do I shoot? I don't know. Blam. Then, you know, shoots the cat. And then the police come and then shoot him in a hail of bullets. And that's the end of that guy. So, yeah, that's how that goes. What we're saying is get gun safety is like sex is what we say. There's
premature firing.
There's no way that being a teenager is not going to be humiliating. By the way, the rest of your life will be humiliating as well. That's not going to end.
You think so?
Well, you know, you don't think like there's humiliations throughout? I think there is if you try anything new. Doing a podcast can be humiliating. I mean, we're just a couple of boobs who are just like, we're going to put our podcast on the air. Do you think anyone will listen? Dirt, dirt, dirt. That's humiliating, isn't it?
I don't think that's potentially humiliating.
It's worked out okay.
I don't think that's humiliating.
Really? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, every mini comic or thing I put out there, you know, you expect can be greeted with a, what are you thinking? Look at this thing. Whoa. Anything you put out in public that's different or new, you know, is like you're setting yourself up for a big, you know, every title card you draw, every cartoon I make, every stand-up set I do, every new show. This new show I'm doing, the Serial Killers show, I could go there and like three people could be in the audience and I'm up there like a big dark, you know, and I've got 2 hours like on a microphone while Black and White Film plays where I'm going, I'm Superman! And then someone slowly gets up to have a grilled cheese sandwich and doesn't come back. Absolutely, man. That completely could happen. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Life can definitely be humiliating.
I don't know. I don't think of that as humiliating.
Well, what's the difference? What would you say? Is that embarrassing?
Well, I just it's
just
kind
disappointing.
Of, it's kind of interesting. I was watching this movie the other day with my friend called Beware of Mr. Baker.
Okay.
And it's I think that was called. It was the life of Ginger Baker. Do you know who Ginger Baker was?
Nope.
Well, he was the drummer in the 60s, a very famous drummer. He drummed for the Cream, the band Cream. And he drummed in Blind Faith.
Wow, he's a Ginger Baker Cream, delicious.
Yeah.
Everything about his life sounds like it's from the Keebler Elves.
There you go. And he was a very good drummer, like a very, very good drummer.
Right.
But he was also a very difficult person to know. He was a heroin addict. He had temper problems and stuff like that. But so his life wasn't great. But there was a moment in the film where he also liked to play polo. He learned that later on in his career, riding horses and playing polo. And so what he would do is he would have a polo match, and then he and his friends would play like a jazz show by the polo grounds under a tent. You know, they just had like, you know, there is a real jazz, you know, trumpet players and stuff like that, and he played drums. And there was a scene where he was playing with his son. They're both playing drums together, and you could see it was this really great moment of connection between them and how great it was. And I thought, this is absolutely great. Like, this is like such a magical moment, such a magical musical moment, and such a magical moment for himself. Yet there's probably like 5 or 10 people there watching it. And so I thought, to people outside of that moment, it's a failure. You know, you're playing your music and there's only 3 people in the audience. One of them gets up to have a grilled cheese sandwich, doesn't come back.
Right.
But the point of it isn't who's there to watch it. What makes it great is that moment that you're having. You know, and I don't. So I think that transcends humiliation.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I mean, we used to do a show called Moose Boosh.
Yeah.
And a maximum amount of people who could fit in that place was like 22. That was maximum.
Yeah.
And quite often we'd be performing for like six people.
Yeah.
And you know, the initial and it was a stand-up show. So me and my friend Riel would go MC it, and then we'd have like three stand-ups, usually maybe two, three. And some of the best shows I've ever done were there. And what I wanted to do when we set that up was just have an audience who knew we were paying attention to them and when they were paying attention to us. And I sort of, again, it was humiliating on the, not humiliating, but it was really a little bit heartbreaking on the nights that no one showed up.
Yeah.
And that happened a couple of times where it was like one person showed up and we couldn't really do a show for one person.
Yeah.
And it's like, ugh, it feels like you've just been kicked in the gut because you know you have something really nice and you got like performers that are great. And if we just had people, this would be a fucking great night.
Yeah.
And so that's heartbreaking. But the nights that it did happen, almost all of them were some of the best shows we've done. And the stand-ups would be super nervous when it was starting because like there's only six people here, this is going to be terrible. But you're hungry as a performer to have people listen to you.
Yeah.
And you have, when you have that kind of intense listening, it's almost like crack. Like you get that first laugh and you go like, oh shit, people are really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do your normal getting their attention shtick in between, so you can just get to the meat of the matter, and they just connected on a deep level, and it was like, yeah, it's amazing. I'm absolutely fine with playing for a small house. That's okay. Where I got problems is when, you know, you can't get anyone in, you know, to come to your show, and then you have to cancel it.
Oh, that sucks. But I wouldn't put that as a humiliation.
Ah, boy. You know? It feels, you know what, it does feel embarrassing when you go like, I've got something, we've been really working hard at it. Here it is for you, and no one wants to see it.
But
that does.
But you know the value of it, so it's not on you. You know what I mean?
You know that. Well, you know the potential value, but until it's like, I mean, we used to do a sketch thing, right? And so we'd rehearse all the sketches, and then you know, if like you know, five people show up, you don't know what it would be like with a group of 20 or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it makes it tough. Here's the thing. It's like, I just came back from San Diego Comic-Con, and that's a place where it is that balance of. Like, it can be very humiliating, like bringing stuff up or like, because you've got to actually approach people. That's where you would meet like editors and that's where you meet people. So what you're going to do is you're going to be facing people whose job it is to say no. And that's what they've got to do.
Yeah.
They can't say yes to everybody. The vast majority of people they're going to say no to, you're going to be said no to many, many times. And if you take that on a deep personal level or even a superficial level, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
It's like asking 10 people to dance and 9 of them say no. And 8 of those are like looking at you like, what are you thinking asking me to dance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who the fuck are you? And
yeah.
it doesn't matter who you are. It's just like, ugh, it's humiliating. It really is that feeling of, if you let it be humiliating, admittedly, if you can take it on a light surface level, you'll be okay. But who the fuck can do that?
It's very hard. I mean, well, to be honest, I could not do that. I couldn't approach people in that way that you're talking about. Like that, like when you say doing a podcast, to me, this seems like a perfect forum for myself because it's almost, to me, there's no judging of what I'm doing here. Do you know what I mean?
But there could be.
There could be, but...
Someone could write, like you're opening yourself up and going, talk to us on our webpage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us on this page.
Sure.
You're saying, dear internet, what you think? And the internet sometimes can be mean.
Well, that's funny you say that because I actually I don't care about that aspect of it, though. I actually do much worse with compliments than I do with criticism.
Oh, okay.
As my, like my personality, right? So...
Do you find the insult in a compliment?
No, I just find compliments... raise the stakes.
Here's something someone said to me the other day before we did this other show. It was like this All for Alberta show that we did, this charity show for Alberta.
Yeah, I was there.
And I won't say, there's a guy who saw me beforehand and just went, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. We're just doing this thing. I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. Listen, man, you look really healthy. You're the healthiest I've seen you look in a long time. You know, good. I'm really looking forward to seeing this show. Okay, great. Walk away. Now, I can take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Or I can take that as, what the fuck have I looked like the last couple of times I've seen this guy? Like, when someone's saying, like, you look not, you're looking good.
Yeah.
You're looking healthy.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Oh, last time you saw me, I was in the emergency ward. Yeah, that's right, because I had the tubes up my nose. No, what the fuck does that mean? So that's one of those, most compliments I hear, I like go,
He's a time traveler. The last time he saw you was at your funeral.
Okay, sure.
So that's what he means.
That's right.
He's like Billy Pilgrim.
I am the head of Bo.
He's slipping through time.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, he's slipping through time, and he just saw you at, yeah. No, I think it can be seen from both sides, right? Like when I saw that moment in the Ginger Baker, and it made me think of that, And I was thinking about, like, you know, I was watching with my friend David M., mm-hmm. who's been on the show, obviously, who was in a what I think is a very great band, No Fun, who had, you know, some local success, a smattering of national success in terms of college play or you know, national radio play.
I've seen
play.
Them at shows with a packed room where everyone was, like, loving the show like crazy.
Yeah. And I've seen them at places where it was almost empty.
That's right, yeah.
But to me, that neither is a reflection of the band in terms of their quality. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you can't take either that seriously.
That's right.
You've got to be aware. It's almost it's something a therapist of mine once said that I agree with, which is like you have to care but not mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, do care what people think, but if they don't like you, don't mind it.
That's kind of where I fall in.
Yeah.
So if someone criticized Sneaky Dragon, it just depends. It depends how it was coached, obviously. But if someone criticized Sneaky Dragon, yeah, I would care, but I wouldn't mind. Like, you know what I mean? I don't take it personally.
Right.
You know, it's their opinion of what we do.
But where you would take it personally is if there was probably, not personally, but like if there was something about the show that you felt was an obvious flaw, there was something embarrassing in the show, and then the person said something that justified what you already believe, then it's piggybacking on what you, you know. It's like...
Explain that.
Well, I'm saying, like, if there was something... All right. Let's say you told a story. Say you felt like that you come across too much of a snob on the show. Let's say that. Okay. That you would. But like, I feel like I'm too much of a snob.
Yeah.
And then someone said, you know, just like, well, I like the show. I even overlooked Dave Snobbery and I da 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 da. And like, if you
wouldn't bother me.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, if it's something I don't want to, like, start poking around for where your soft spots are here. Okay. Let's just for this okay. point say what it is.
Okay. So I did feel like that was
Okay. Then this guy is saying the next thing. Like, what you've done is you put some dry kindling down. Mm-hmm. That spark then is going to the ground that is ready to burn, and that's what hits you.
Okay.
If I'm feeling a certain way about, like, I'm feeling like, oh, I don't look, let's say, healthy, and then a guy says just, like, you know, something like that, that piggybacks on what I already feel. If I felt like I feel like $1 million, then this guy saying that, I'm just like, well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know, if someone says, why do you hate women so much? I don't hate women.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that would not bother me. And I'm like, well, something was mistaken. Maybe I'll look and see what I said and see how that could have been interpreted that.
Yeah.
But it's not something, it's like...
It's that woman's head you're holding in your hand.
It's like Daryl Lennox has that bit. And he's a black man, and he's got a bit where he says, like, racial slurs don't bug him because that's not his name.
Yeah.
So if someone calls him something, that's not his name. It doesn't hit him there. But, you know, it's like if you believe something about yourself, if you feel you're fat, someone calls you fat. Whoa,
yeah.
That just feeds into that. And now, you know, you're the fattest person alive. You shouldn't leave the house. You know, you're just disgusting children who are throwing up on
the
street.
Okay, you're right. I'm sure that, yeah, there could be criticism that would hit me in a way that was personal.
There's a weird thing, though, like when you go to San Diego and, like, someone says your resume or something, you kind of want to. It's weird because, like, when there's people in the audience hearing that, I know there's a lot of people who want to do things, and they hear the things that you're doing, and normally only they list successes, and you want to go, like, oh, Lordy, let me show you all my friends that did not make it. You know, I don't want to be too dark here, but just, like, those are three healthy children. I lost 26 in the last year through, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're constantly, as an artist, or at least me, you know, putting stuff out there and being told, no, or even worse, huh? Like, no response. You're not worth a response.
Yeah.
No one's going to get back to you. You work your ass off on a pitch. You put it out there, and then you don't hear anything and anything. And if you communicate with that person, you're bothering them. You're a fucking bother. But, you know, when you present what you've done, you only see the thing. They only see the things you've actually done and succeeded at. And you're like, oh, that's clearly you worked hard at these things, and then they succeeded. That's the way the story goes. No, no, no. The story spreads out way in other directions, and the vast majority of the time isn't people going yay, it's people going meh or blech. But blech means they care.
Yeah,
for the most part it's like, yeah, who gives a shit.
Meh. Yeah,
yeah,
not Canucks.
Did you just do a thing? Yeah, that's great.
No, that's true. I mean, you know, I can spend 19 hours drawing a title card and get 2 likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But you don't know how many likes you really get.
But yeah. But
then later, a girl comes up to you and says, a grown woman. Boy, I hate women. Anyway, a woman comes up to you and goes, like, you should make a shirt of that because I like it so much.
Yeah.
This is probably not someone who has liked that there, but liked it enough in person to come up to you, one, see your show, and two, tell you, hey, I'd like that shirt.
Sure.
So you got no clue what effect you're having on the world when you throw something out there.
Yeah.
None.
I would say that to anyone who feels like they've been humiliated, though.
Well, here's the thing. I just did a comic strip called Dr. Sarcophagus with, let's say, the person we're talking about, Nina Matsumoto, who's an artist who's fantastic. And she and I, like a long time ago, not a long time, a couple of years ago, won an Eisner for Best Short Story.
Yeah.
So we like working together.
15 years ago.
15 years ago, which makes, she was 3 when she did it. Yes. A prodigy. But so we did a thing called Dr. Sarcophagus, and it was done just before the con. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the con, and you get this, it's the hardest question in the world where people go, what you been up to?
Yeah.
And you feel like, shit, you got to like prioritize which, you don't want to talk to them forever about everything and be a braggy boots. So like often I
hope you mentioned the podcast first.
Oh, Lordy, it's so fucking hard. It's weird. I just don't want to say the word podcast. You know what I mean?
I know.
It feels weird. I do a show called Sneaky Dragon. That's what I say now. Okay. I don't say podcast because that feels too old. Anyway, so it's like, I do a blog. No, just say you fucking got a thing. That's the thing. Anyway, so people would ask, hey, what you up to? And I went, oh, I just did a comic strip online called Dr. Sarcophagus. And I said this to a guy who I really, really admire. Like, he's a writer who's like, wow, he's one of my favorite writers. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, yeah, everyone's talking about that. And I just wanted to turn to him and go, you're a fucking liar. What do you mean everyone's talking about it? No one's talking about it. Shut up, shut up, shut up. What do you mean? What do you mean? Shut up, shut up.
Then you run out of the room with your arms kind of slipping.
That's right.
Get out.
And then he said, it's like, yeah, because it's such a great name. And I'm like, oh, you haven't read it. You just think it's great. And they're like, what am I finding an insult in that for? First of all, I couldn't take a compliment. And now I've dug so deep into Minecraft that I found an insult and it's blown up in my fool. But yeah. But actually, one thing that was kind of funny about that was you get these weird instincts where you're just like, I've got to do this now. Because if I don't do this now, something's going to happen. And part of that is mental illness. But the other part is sometimes you're right. And I was like, Dr. Sarcophagus, damn it. I got to get this out there now because something's going to happen. So I get it out there. And Heidi McDonald puts it up on The Beat.
Yeah.
And Tom Spurgeon also on Comics Reporter, which was really sweet of both of them. But on The Beat one, Kurt Busiek. Who's one of my favorite writers, who does a book called Astro City, writes and goes like, oh, I had a character called Dr. Sarcophagus was coming in episode in issue 6. Now I got to think of a different name. And it just runs through some different names. And I'm like, oh, God, if we'd waited any longer, I wouldn't have been able to use the name. And so there was that nice feeling of like, oh, I got in just under the wire. And also I felt, you know, the bad, oh, it's a good book. I feel bad about that. But I gave him some silly names that he could use.
Yes.
Also, there's a character in Tintin with that name, apparently, too.
Is there?
Yes. Can you, David?
In The Cigars of the Pharaoh.
Bang on. Yeah. Well done. Dr. Sarcophagus. That's right.
Huh.
Sophocles Sarcophagus, I believe, is his name.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's such a side character that I think it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. No, it's just a funny name for a professor.
But in general, if we were bringing this to a point, I would say things are embarrassing when you try. There can be embarrassment in just trying anything new or putting your stuff out there. You disagree.
I do, because
I find that embarrassing that you don't agree with me. And so I prove my point and win this argument.
I just feel, I'm not shaking my head because you're wrong. I'm just shaking my head that that's...
Because of lice.
I'm trying to shake them out. And the ticks don't help any. I don't help any other.
Your nervous ticks.
My nervous ticks.
Which are actually blood-sucking little ticks that actually go attached to your nerves.
No, it's just sad that I'm saying that I'm not disagreeing with you.
You're just saying I'm sad.
I'm shaking my head because I'm thinking to myself, it's true, but it's sad that that's a fact. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is sad.
The thing is not to let it stop you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going
to... I'm just going to hold on to that Ginger Baker moment. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. It's just that sense that it doesn't, you know, it's not the approval or disapproval. It's the moment for you that's important.
Well, here's another really weird thing that happened to Pia and myself, my wife Pia Guerra. We got asked by Dos Equis. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Okay.
You haven't really talked about, you were at this big thing and you haven't really talked about it. I was hoping you would.
Here's one of the weirder things that we were told to keep mum about.
Because you were at, where were you at?
We were at the San Diego Comic Con.
Which is a huge comic convention.
That is, it's a big...
In fact, it's not even a comic convention anymore. It's really, it's like an entertainment...
Do you know, yeah, people...
Behemoth.
Yeah, the joke that I made is if you can find an actual comic book, they'll give you a free Minecraft sword.
Yeah.
Because people are all like, oh, it's all movies. It's like, no, buddy, it's not movies. It's video games.
Okay.
Movies, that's adorable that you think it's movies. That's great. And admittedly, there's Hall H where they do all the movie stuff.
Yeah.
But what's really a creepin' on the comics are the video games.
Oh, really?
So anyway, the weird thing about just Comic-Con in general is it feels like it's supposed to be taking place in the present, but it's celebrating things It's celebrating things that, oh geez, I don't want to say dying, but it's celebrating things that are in the past, as in almost all of the structures that are in place currently are not going to be around very shortly. I think there will be comics, but I think things are going to change in a certain way. Hmm. And so there, it feels like a celebration of this is now, but it's like, it's not really now. You know, this the way things are now, you know, sales keep going down, Video games keep getting more, And it's like something new is going to happen, and no one knows what it is. But right now, it's kind of just treading water there.
I believe it's called the floating chair. That's the.
Is that a symbolic thing?
I'm just thinking of that movie with Wall-E, with people in the chairs floating in the spaceship. They're just everyone's just become this sort of sloth-like creature who.
Well, people aren't slothy. They're working hard because everyone feels that. I mean, the economy is so bad in the States right now that everyone's super Johnny Hustle.
Okay.
And everyone's trying to find the next thing. And some people are like, it's motion comics. No, it's not motion comics. It's comics with sound. No, it's not that. It's you got to put an app out and you'll do this. No, wait, it's not that. It's da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, no one knows yet. We're all in that halfway mark.
Okay.
We definitely know it's not going to be direct market comic book stores. We've talked about this before, but like, you know, digital comics cost the same as brick and mortar store comics, which is ridiculous because brick and mortar store comics, you have to drive them, print them, and digital, you don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
And so right now we've got a fake structure in place where we charge the same on digital to be nice to the comic stores. And, you know, that's how business works. Let's all be nice to each other. That's how a good business model works. So at some point that's going to break and change. Anyway, but what I was going to say was P and I were invited to this Dos Equis party.
Yeah.
And Dos Equis is the beer or ale or lager. I don't drink. That is the most interesting man in the world is their ad campaign.
Yes.
So every year they invite like 20 of the most interesting people, have them go to a party. Mm-hmm. And like they've had like the cast of Community and that kind of thing go to this thing. So anyway, P and I are two of the 20.
Wow.
That are invited to one of these things.
You're interesting.
I'm somewhat interesting. And I forget the name of the chef.
Did you find the insult in that compliment?
I'm not looking right now. And this chef, I'm forgetting his name, Craig something. I'll let you know when I find out.
Craig Ferguson?
Yeah, it was Craig Ferguson. It was a joke. Well, this is the thing. We thought, are we being punked? We're going to get there. And it's like, think you're interesting, eh? And it's like going to be this reality show thing. So anyway, we show up and I'm sitting across from Bobcat Goldthwait.
Nice.
Yes.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. And it's one of those where, again, speaking of humiliation, it's like, I really like Bobcat Goldthwait. I like, you know, I like his early career. I like all the stuff he's done. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing these alternative weird movies. And I really like that. And it's this thing of like.
Greatest dad in the world.
You've got. Yeah. And God Bless America. And that one where the.
I couldn't watch that one.
You couldn't?
No.
Which one? World's Greatest Dad?
No, the one where the girl had sex with her dog.
That's okay.
Couldn't watch.
He's got one coming out about Bigfoot that's pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, it's that thing where like it's great to be across from him. It's also embarrassing as hell because I just like you just like or it's not even embarrassing. You're like there's potential embarrassment here. I've got to work my way around it and be cool. But I basically talked to almost everyone else in the world besides him.
Yeah.
And then it just came to the point where I had to. And then we had a great conversation for most of the night. And he was telling stories about, okay, I'll just tell you one thing that's,
this
is probably one of the better.
This is a secret.
This is not a secret.
This is a secret story that he told that he wasn't supposed to pass on.
But it's pretty good. And by the way, the food was amazing.
Just tell everyone it's a secret.
All right, it's a secret. Here's the thing. Yeah. So he's doing a movie called Willow Creek, which is kind of like the Blair Witch Project, but with Bigfoot.
Okay.
Now the deal with this is it's two actors who are playing a married couple. One is a skeptic, one is not, and they're going on a trip to Bigfoot country to
go. Wait, two people who believe opposite things are married? I don't believe that.
I know. Because Dave's idea of marriage is heart to heart where they agreed on everything. And by the way, when they met, it was murder. Anyone old enough to get that? Dave is.
I don't even get it. What are you talking about?
That's the opening to Heart to Heart. Do you know the TV series Heart to Heart?
Oh, yeah. There's a guy, Lionel Stander.
Yeah, that's right. Mrs. Hart. She's gorgeous.
He was in a lot of Frank Capra films. And he was blacklisted.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So was Bobcat Goldthwait.
Was he?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a second.
He was in front of HUAC as well, was he?
Yes, he was a very old man. So this Willow Creek movie, the idea is they're both Bigfoot. Yeah, you can. Dave is on his second Coca-Cola of the night. This one is boiling hot. It's been in the sun all day. Let's see what happens. So they go to deep Bigfoot country, and the rest of the people in the film are actually real people who believe in Bigfoot.
Okay.
So they're going to real Bigfoot-believing territory, and they're having the actors interact with people who really believe it, but don't know it's kind of a gimme scam.
Yeah.
But one of the things they said was there's a park ranger who was helping them out, and he takes them as deep into the woods as you can go. Like there's no phone, yeah. There's no nothing. Now we're going even farther. He said there was like we saw two different mountain lions, and we're way out in the middle of like. You know, if anything bad happens, we're fucked.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's getting really nervous. And then the park ranger says to him, I'm an artist myself. It's like, oh, what do you do? Well, I'm a writer. Oh, what kind of things do you write? Now, this is the park ranger yeah. in the kind of town that everyone believes in Bigfoot.
Sure.
He completely believes in Bigfoot. And he goes, well, have you heard of Twilight? Yeah, I do something a little like that. And it's kind of a young romance thing, but with Bigfoot. So you think, like, is she dating Bigfoot? It's like, no. Bigfoot just kind of inspires everything. And so the title of his first book is Yeti or Not.
Okay.
Yeti or Not. And my reaction to that was, is the second one Sasquatch Out? But yeah, it's available.
Wait, I can't. Sasquatch Out. Sasquatch. I don't get it.
Okay, because Watch Out. I'm putting Sasquatch Out.
Okay, Sasquatch Out.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But if you go to Amazon.com, mm-hmm. you can fine. Buy for Kindle or regular.
Okay.
We're going to get it. Yeti or Not.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good. But
of course, this person is a real guy. So this is a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. This is all real. Everything's yeah. real except for this. And he was saying like how dangerous things got like a couple of times. You know, he's really taking some real risks there. My suggestion to him was that they should get one of the people who actually believes in Bigfoot to do one of the commentary tracks to it. Oh, by the way, they showed the film to the people.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. No, they all loved it.
Yeah.
They just went, it was the best Bigfoot movie they've ever seen because it's all them telling yeah. their stories. So yeah. as much as the couple is doing their shenanigans
yeah.
and like, I don't know how it ends, but I'm going to guess badly. They still got to tell their story. Yeah. So this was a great movie for them.
Yeah.
But through the whole thing, I'm thinking like, you're Bobcat Goldthwait. You're Bobcat Goldthwait. First of all, oh, I spent so much money on that hot to trot piece of shit. Wait a second, though. You were on the last Arsenio Hall show. I don't want to bring that up, but like you spray painted bad things about Paramount on the wall and threw the couch into the audience. And like, wait, you set the chair on fire at the Tonight Show and you were blacklisted from every talk show for forever. What? Wait a minute, you also. And you just go through all the things the guy did. It's like, holy shit, I think you were Shakes the Clown.
He toured with Nirvana. And played a cherub or something that was lower. I think it was with Nirvana.
That sounds about right. I think he did something like that where he like lost his pants or something, and he regretted not making things better before he did that. He went like, "Oh, if I could just had a couple of shakes, get that going." It's just like, "Oh, there's a lot of video of that out there. Not very happy with how that worked out." But yeah, it's one of these weird situations.
I guess
where,
that is a real humiliating moment. Yeah. You can't make that better.
But you know so much about somebody, like just because. You know, he's part of the thing. And you got to play it cool like you're just meeting the guy for the first time. But yeah, it was good. It was a very fun dinner. And he was a really, really sweet guy.
That sounds
and then
cool.
We walk outside and walk like one block up and there's a Weezer concert happening on the street.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, this Weezer, that's neat. And then like, oh, let's just keep walking. And then this TV host that we both like his show quite a bit.
Ferguson.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson. Let's go with that. No, it's Victor Lucas, who like I watch that guy's show, like Electric Playground and Reviews on the Run quite a bit. He's a video game pop culture
fella. That's why he'd be there.
Right. And I'd never met him before. I saw him sort of in lineup. Going through customs on the way. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And it's like, hey, yeah. And like, we're passing by Weezer and he sees us and we're going for the handshake and he goes, we're getting a hug and we're doing this. And we're like, what the heck's going on? It's just so surreal.
Because you're
like,
so interesting.
We're very, very interesting people. That. David.
Yeah.
We're very interesting
I know.
People.
I know that.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. So, but even the best thing, you know, had a lot of humiliation potential in it if you want to. If you want to have a bad time, you can do it, brother.
You can do whatever you want.
Do it. You can have the worst time. I'm sure there's people in heaven right now going, oh, God hates me. God hates me. He thinks I'm an asshole. You know that's going
to be. Did he say he looked at me?
Yeah.
He looked sideways at me, didn't
wait,
he?
Wait, was I on the right hand or the left hand side?
Yeah.
Was it my right or his right? When they say right hand of God, how do you know? Well, both hands would be the right hand because it's God.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be bad if you got up to heaven and it's like, listen, you're going to be, if you're on the right hand of God, mm-hmm. that's great. If you're on the left hand of God, it's not good. Then you get up to heaven, he's got three arms. Like, oh, what do you do? Who saw this coming?
But he's really circular, so you're going to say they're all.
Yeah,
they're all
you don't know. It's like, oh, that's the Trinity.
Backhand compliment from God. I just want to go back to our show that we did at the X Lounge.
Okay.
Because you asked me a question during the show. And what's weird about doing a live show is that...
was you smell toast? And you went, no. And that's how I knew.
You're having a stroke.
Of genius.
That's how you knew that they're making some toast. Because you're at a restaurant. So it's natural.
Called Toasties.
The toast would be big. Now you ask me a question. What's weird about when you're doing a live show is that, when you ask me a question, and I kind of wanted to think about it, but it's hard to think about it because people are staring at you, so you're kind of
Well, what you don't know about when I ask Dave a question, what he normally does, because he takes out all the silences in the show. So Dave will go like, and then he'll stand up. He'll go walk around the block a couple of times smoking his pipe.
That's right.
He'll do a little charity work for the poor in the area. He'll work at a soup kitchen.
Yep.
He'll come back, sit back down and go, and what was the question again? And I'll repeat it and he'll go, Then he'll go back outside, light a cigar, walk a different direction.
All my smoking. It's a miracle I'm in such good health.
Yeah.
No, you asked me...
because you do not smoke them orally.
We were talking about manliness or what my idea of like macho...
Yes.
And stuff. And so I kind of answered, but I wasn't really happy with my answer in a way because I felt like I left out part of what I admire about people.
Okay.
In terms of one thing is that I don't really admire macho-ness. Like I admire manliness, but I would put those apart from each other. Like to me, macho is like a swagger or an undeserving swagger, an overvaluation of your manliness or whatever. Okay. What I really like are people who are manly who don't use their manliness or don't flaunt it or whatever. You know, so in terms of like, what do I admire? Like in terms of manliness would be people who like help other people in emergencies. Because I often wonder like what I would do if I saw someone in serious trouble, would I act to help them or would I freeze? Like, I just don't know because I can't think of too many situations where I was required to act really fast to do something. You know, someone like Tom Cruise, who, you know, I and other people, you know, we can make fun of for his private life and stuff like that. But, you know, I think he saved like three people in three different circumstances. He's been in that moment where he had to, you know, act and he was save someone.
Right.
Where there was, I think he pulled someone from out of a car, away from a car, and he saved someone from drowning, I believe. I don't know all the stories, but to me, that's admirable.
It is. I'm sorry. I'm going to say the one semi-jokey thing that I always think when I see that. And it's like, there's a person drowning in a car. Okay. Now, you're standing there and you're with a crowd and there's a crowd of people. Now, a lot of people could save this person from drowning in a car. Now, they're thinking, I'm going to save that person from drowning in a car. And then they're distracted. Why? Because Tom Cruise is next to them. There's half a beat where they go, is that Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Am I dreaming?
Yeah.
That's Tom Cruise. Now, in the time it's taken them to go, is that Tom Cruise? Tom Cruise has jumped in the water and Tom Cruise has got the guy out.
Yeah.
Because there's that little beat of like, that's Tom Cruise. Also, if you see Tom Cruise running for an accident, your first instinct is not, this is a real accident.
Yeah.
Your first instinct is, fuck, I've walked into a movie set. I got it back. You look for the cameras. You look around. Nope. Okay. There you go. I still say good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
You know, maybe they're all set up by Scientology. I don't know. But
and let me just say, I like Tom Cruise.
I do.
For
like,
all the making fun of, I like his movies. I like his movies. He's a fine. He seems fine.
Well, there's that video you can see it on YouTube of him doing the stunt for that Last Mission Impossible film, Ghost Protocol, where he is actually on way up really high on that building and wherever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Kuwait?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Dubai.
Dubai, that's right. And, you know, he's actually doing, like, the wire work and stuff. He's on this building. He's running around, like, dangling it. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
He's fucking terrifying.
Okay. I got a bit of a beef with that.
Okay, why?
Because here's the thing. To me, that's the kind of thing, like, I mean, it sounds like, well, good for that guy doing his own stunts. Fantastic.
Yeah.
But what that sort of, there's a bit of me that goes, like, or you could just let someone who's professional do it, and then it's not a big pain in the ass for everyone on the set. But it's basically the star going, I want to do my own stunts. And everyone around goes a heavy sigh and goes, okay, well, this is going to make it way fucking harder because we can't do it the way that's easy and good. We've got to do it the way where Tom gets to feel a thrill.
Is that right?
I feel a little bit like that when you have a
I take the opposite view. I admire,
you feel like he's getting a rush out of it. It's almost like a kid wanting to be on a roller coaster.
Maybe.
That's his roller coaster.
But what's wrong with that? What's wrong with enjoying your job?
He's a guy who, and again, I'm not judging the guy for judging.
You're judging.
I'm not really.
I'm being very judgmental.
I'm really feeling like a guy who has millions and millions of dollars, you can buy anything you want. You can go anywhere in the world you want. Frankly, you can make love to any woman you want. Make love to any guy you want. You can do whatever you want. You've got all the wants. What's the thing to you that gets your heart beating and your adrenaline up? Well, guess what? We're doing a movie in Dubai where there's a thing where they climb the building. I want to do that. Now you're talking to the 8-year-old kid who wants to go on the roller coaster and wants to get a thrill. So that's what you're getting. So like that's, you know, one, it might be good in the movie. It might make the movie better. It might make the movie worse. Who knows? The one thing is the star wants a thrill because he needs one because he's like at such a level, like where's he going to get a fucking thrill? Hunt a man for sport? You know, he's got to do something. And it's like, well, throw him off a mountain into a volcano. Whee! That's what he likes. But there's professional people who could do the same thing, you know, and man, whatever. But that's just, that's a little of me.
I'm gonna put that criticism under the category pissy.
Sure. How humiliating on my part.
So I mean, he doesn't have to be the example, but you know, I admire that kind of physicality too. Like sure. That's why I like someone like Buster Keaton so much. Someone who could do those incredibly controlled. Like when I was a kid, my dream was to be like a stuntman. And I would stage so many fake fights with my friends that involved all kinds of fake punches and elaborate pratfalls and huge somersaults.
You wouldn't want to be the actor who also does his own stunts. You would just want to be the stuntman who would step in for Mr. Cruise.
I would just want the opportunity to show off the fact that I could do big falls. You remember, I used to do really great falls. I mean, yeah. I can't do it
but
the way
you would
I used
do,
to.
You would do those in shows where it was you. Though. Yeah. That was the thing. We'd do things like we'd start a show with running down a big thing of stairs to the stage and then not being able, then smashing into the stage, not being able to get up on top of it and just ramming our young bodies again and again into the stage, bruising and damaging ourselves because we're young men who are none of us having sex and we need to feel something. So
how humiliating.
So smashy, smashy, bashy, bashy. Yes. Okay.
But I find that, I don't know. I just kind of I enjoy that kind of control.
Yeah.
The other thing
it's
I like.
It's also fun to roughhouse.
The other thing I think of as manly is people who can do things for themselves.
Fix a toaster.
Fix a toaster. Yeah. Or
roof needs shingling.
Roof needs shingling. Or yeah. I mean,
Dave, there's a bear outside. What are we gonna do about it? I don't know.
I'll get a hammer. I'll scare him away.
That's right. Like in the old song, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer me a bear.
Well, I was talking to someone the other day, and I mentioned the fact that my daughter Millis's the alternator went on her Durango. And so I replaced it.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, you did your own alternator. I said, oh, yeah, because I've done the water pump on that and I've done the alternator and before. And he's like, oh, that's really impressive. And so I thought, that's kind of impressive, actually, that I can just, you know, if I have to, I can do that. And then I was thinking, what have I done on a car? I've actually done a lot of stuff on cars.
Yeah.
Like I've done like the exhaust manifolds. I've rebuilt the carburetor. I have done the distributor, you know, I've done like taken a distributor cap and replaced it. I've done actually all the exhaust on a car one time. I replaced the struts on an older Volvo that we had in the past. So, and lots of other things, brakes and all kinds. You know, I was thinking, wow, I've done a lot of fix-y-up things. Like I do like doing that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't admire someone who couldn't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I could like them and everything like that, but there would be something about them that's, it's too bad about it. They just can't pick up a pliers and figure it out, you know? Because there's something admirable to me about that, just because, you know.
Well, anytime I used to work on shows, you'd have the tech guys, and you really wanted to, like, be friends with them, just because, like, it was neat that they could fix stuff and rig stuff and make stuff and build stuff and make things happen.
Yeah.
And you wanted to be connected with that in some way and, you know, if possible, learn their magic, their wizardly magic.
Well, that's the thing. My father-in-law and my brother are both mechanical wizards. Like, both of them can look at an engine and understand what everything does in it. You know, and I can't. I can look at an engine and I know what some of the things are, but I don't understand how it all works.
Yeah.
You know, but because they understand it as a whole, they can fix it because they can see, oh, this should be happening and it's stopping here. So this is the problem right here. I can't do that. You know, my brother's the same, like with like tiling. You know, if I said, can I borrow your tile saw? He's like, oh, I'll come over and help you. Which he means, I'll come over and do it all. Will you stand behind me and hand me tiles? Because, you know, he's just really good at it and he can do it really quickly and it looks really great. He's just one of those jerks that, you know, it's like people who can play like a lot of instruments. I hate those people. Even though I admire them, I'm so jealous of them.
Though you did a trick last week that I think like other people, I'm not saying this almost as a brag because I did too. But like you did a thing last week where you went in front of people for an hour with nothing to say, basically. You came in with the idea of like, I might talk about this book a bit, but you just sat down in front of people and just went, we've got to kill an hour yapping. What do you plan? Nothing. We're going to just like try and entertain a room full of people for an hour with nothing. And like, you know, I think you could run that by those, some of those guys that you're talking about are like, I'll cut down that tree for you.
Yeah.
And just go, hey, you want to go talk in front of people for an hour? About what? Nothing. Just make stuff up. What? Fuck off. You know, and just like, you know.
Well, you're right. Because you can't admire. I mean, it's the same with like drawing. Like, you know, I probably undervalue that because I can do it.
Yeah.
Whereas they would be totally jealous. And well, I not jealous, but I know for a fact like, I'll bring up David again.
It seems magic.
I keep talking about David M on the show, but
yeah.
One time...
Would you rather do the show with David M?
I think so.
I think you should call it the D&D Music Factory and just talk about music. Hey, Dave. Yeah, Dave. What, Dave? Hey, Dave.
One time I did a poster for No Fun for one of the shows, and David, who I admire because he can just think of a song, like it just pops into his head,
yeah,
and then he just kind of works on it and creates his music. It's amazing to me because I cannot do that. I cannot understand music in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the same. He couldn't understand how a drawing could pop into my head and I could take that vision and then transfer it onto paper.
Yeah.
And so it'd be the same as someone who, you know.
Almost completely transfer it onto paper. It'll never be exactly you want it to be.
But you know what I mean? You can get the general gist
of it. It's weird. Like I've talked to this guy who's like one of the best stand-ups in town. And he was talking about how like he always wanted to draw and it just feels like magic to him, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's magic. And like, yeah, it's kind of magic. But it's also, you know, of course, lots and lots of practice. But the thing that you
don't.
But
so is magic.
Yeah, it's true. That's a good point. Very well done. Oh, we'd end this now if I was smart. But it's this, you know, whenever I get an idea for something, it's both like, oh, that's great. And it's like, oh, fucking shit. That's like, because now I got to do it, right? Because now it's this little like crying voice in the back of your head that's like,
yeah,
exactly. And you got to make the goddamn thing. And then that's like, you don't see that this like wonderful idea that you scrambled on a piece of paper is now going to be like days worth of fucking work, you know, putting it on. You know, it's just like, ah, shit. Shit. But I wouldn't give it up for anything, but still, ah, shit. You know, on the topic of humiliation, just because we're running out a little bit of time, I want to ask you something as a dad.
Yes.
Okay. I like that we can talk dad stuff here. That's not a lot of podcasts talk daddish stuff.
They don't?
No, I don't think so. Huh. It's usually two dudes yapping about, you know, Superman. Who wants to hear that kind of shit? Am I right?
You're right.
Especially that podcast, Am I Right? Anyway, that is a good podcast. Why don't you look up my episode? I'm doing the stuff
it
with my...
It turned out you were a liberal.
That's right. I'm doing that stuff with my niece and nephew yesterday. And I'm very aware all the time of how I look and what I'm doing. And I'm just like really nervous around stuff. And I don't like crowds. And it's just, ugh, you know, it's just weird. It's weird.
It's like you're an adult.
A little bit, yeah. But like, it's like a couple of times on the way down to the SkyTrain before I went to New West to pick them up.
Yeah.
I ran into people I knew. And it's like pleasant, but it's also, oh, it's awkward. Now I got to think of stuff to say. And like, oh, that's great. And when do we wrap this conversation up? And oh, now another person has met me. And now I've got to talk to three people at the same time. It's like, oh boy, I've forgotten the name of your girlfriend. And this is really shitty now. God damn it. Please just introduce yourself. And it's just like, oh God. So anyway, but the second I pick up the niece and nephew and we're on the SkyTrain and then we're at the Science World and all this kind of stuff, I've got no sense of self. Like, I could be walking around with no shirt and I wouldn't give a shit. Because all I'm thinking is, like, what are they up to? What's going on? How are they? My awareness is 100% on them. And so it actually makes me not embarrassed to be around. Like, you put the focus completely off yourself and onto them, at least for that, for the whole day. Like, you're exhausted at the end of it because you've been watching eyes wide open to make sure the little 8-year-old adorable girl doesn't get taken on a trip somewhere,
it's
right?
It's a bit different for you than for the parents.
You get used to it. Yeah, I'm sure you get used to it.
And also, you know, it's like you're driving your friend's car.
But do you
a different feeling than driving your own
car.
Do you
find yourself less aware of self when you're with your children than you are solo? Like if you're just solo Dave, or if you're Dave who's also Dave who's dad Dave, does dad Dave not mind as much if he's got like ketchup on his shirt and that kind of stuff? Or does dad
Dave
still...
No, I think that would still bother me if I had ketchup on my shirt. But I think you're right. Well, particularly when they're younger, I think that you are kind of subsumed into this relationship or that what do you want to call it, that whatever it is, it's not relationship, but you know what I mean, that that situation, I guess would be the only word I can think of now, that you're kind of completely in that moment and you can't, you know, and you focus on the kids.
They
and
bring you into now
way differently.
You don't have time to think of how what you did. Like, did I say the wrong thing to them earlier? Who cares?
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck. You know, what's happening?
That's why, that's why we wreck our kids.
Yeah. And then you think, like, what's going to happen later? I don't know. We'll eat a fucking snack. Mm-hmm. You know, but right now I got to deal with the fact that he's running in that direction towards the chickens.
Yeah.
And I got to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of know if, like, because, you know, eventually as I see moms and they're just in pajama pants and they're dropping off the kid at school. And I'm just like, you don't care. Like, you just throw up your hands and you just go like, man, that's the way that is. I mean, I don't see you in pajama pants a robe.
Not too often.
But does it take, I just wondered if that takes it down a little bit, the sense of self down a notch.
It's funny, I never noticed that. So it's interesting that you say it. I would have to like be thinking back to that time period and trying to remember it. But it's hard because, you know, a lot of that experience, it's emotional. It's not a memory, like a physical memory.
Yeah.
It's an emotional memory. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's part of how I felt at that time is more important to me than what they were doing or what was happening.
How about this? You know, I mean, all three of our live shows your daughters have been at, right?
Yes, yeah.
Has there been a show that you've ever done, like with David M.,
your friend David M.,
where you felt more self-aware? Because, like, you're still, when you're doing our show, when your daughters are there, you're still a little bit of in that mode, probably, because your family's there.
No, I forget about them.
Do you forget about them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's good to forget about your family. You know who also does that? Jazz musicians.
That's right. I'm going on the road now.
That is going for a pack
months.
Of smokes.
But I don't ignore them or I don't.
Coming back with a whole bunch of songs about that, prostitutes.
I just mean that I just kind of put it out of my mind that they're there.
Right.
Because I don't want the fact that my wife and my kids are there to impede what I'm saying.
No, you don't want to.
I don't want to be thinking, oh,
Mr. Clean Mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, or be thinking, oh, I don't want to say that because that would make my wife mad. Or, oh, I don't want to say that because the girls are here and I don't want to know that dad thinks that way.
On a completely side note, then, so that doesn't bother you saying it would be in potty mouth Dave on the show when in front of the daughters?
No.
Okay, but at home you would be Clean McGee.
I swear at home.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Didn't realize you were that kind of dad.
I mean, well, at the moment, I mean, they have to drive with me for one thing, so they're going to hear the F word. There's plenty of times in your life when you're driving that you just can't help yourself.
Yeah, just go blistering barnacles.
And you just go, yes, a million milliards, whatever that means. They always say that in the
That'd be fantastic if you could only swear like in Tintin. Tintin
Captain,
swears.
Captain Haddock.
Captain Haddock swears.
You bashy bazook.
That would be great. We should try that for one episode. It's like we can only swear. If you got to swear, you got to swear Tintin style.
Well, one time we were looking at Phyllis needed to find a bird to do a report on. I don't know why it was a bird, but so I kept saying, well, do the tit. Do the. And we kept finding all these like euphemistic names and finally said, you should do one on the red-breasted penis. We all laughed. It's a great. So I don't know. I think in life there's times when swearing is great.
Yeah.
But mostly it's useless.
Yeah. My nephew keeps trying to bring up swears to me and go like, it's okay, it's in this video game, which means it's okay if I say it. And it's like, I bet it isn't. I don't think it is at all. Nope. Yeah. I don't think so. Oh, by the way, he's also going through that nice stage that you were talking about with your brothers where it's hilarious to punch people in the nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when's that end again?
Not for a while yet.
Fantastic.
5 years. Why did he get punched?
Oh, he's trying.
Oh, okay.
Like he's trying, but he's 11. So, you know.
It'll last him with 3 years.
I am literally cock blocking him. In the non-sexual good way. I'm just like, whoa.
What's funny?
I can see you're roundhousing like Indiana Jones. I can see it coming, brother.
I hated getting punched.
Of course you did.
But I never, that didn't upset me the same way. Like if someone punches me in the arm, I actually get mad.
Yeah.
Like even now, if someone punches me in the arm, I'll get kind of mad. But at that time, it didn't get me mad the same way that if I got sacked.
No, because it shuts something down in your head.
I guess so.
Like it really makes your brain instantly different of just like. Well,
I think it's partly that it was almost like it was a game, you know,
yeah.
Whereas punching the arm wasn't.
It almost feels like you're being turned inside out a little bit. It feels like a black hole has opened and you're being pulled through it. There's something deeply wrong about that.
Well, next time we meet, I'll talk a little bit more about.
You're gonna nut punch me.
I'll nut
punch
you.
Reacher style.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't do it in a pleasant, fun way.
No. Well, but that's Tom Cruise. Good for him. He'll nut punch you and then save you from a car accident. Was there anything more you want to say about Tom Cruise, or were you done on Tom Cruise?
I'm done on Tom Cruise.
All right, we're all done on Tom Cruise.
I just want to say one thing about the book I brought up last week because I forgot like my favorite part of
name the
that
book title again.
Oh, Exo Vaticana.
Okay.
Something to do with the alien messiah and the Catholic Church. and flying saucers and stuff like right. that.
Close
and
Encounters of the Holy Trinity kind.
My youngest daughter, Phyllis, is reading it, and she turned to me and she took her head and turned to me and said, "This shizzle ain't Rizzle." So that was a great moment.
Fantastic. If you want to come see me live, I'm at the Rio Theater both next Wednesday and the Wednesday after that. That is the 31st and the 7th. 31st Critical Hit Show, live D&D. After that, Serial Killers. We're dubbing over serials from the 1940s and whatnot. Pick up The Malevolent Mr. Burns. That's a Bongo comic that I have a story in. Also, Gail Simone, who's a friend of mine, has a good story in there. And there's a mask of Mr. Burns as a Fruit Batman in there. So wear a mask. Why not? Have an Eyes Wide Shut Tom Cruise-style party.
Sure, why not?
And I'll put on your masks and have a good time. By the way, at this thing I was at with Bobcat Goldthwait, yeah. all the women serving us were wearing masks.
Oh.
So we all made Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah,
it might have been a swingers party now that I think about it.
Yeah.
We just did not leave our keys.
You just weren't that interesting.
Well, we just had the hotel room keys, so who knows what those are. Anyway. Thanks so much for listening to our nonsense every week. We really do appreciate it. Why not post something? Here's the thing. You know, we haven't asked you this for a while. Go onto the iTunes page and rate our show if you feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, that helps bump things up.
Reader.
And, yeah. It lets people know about the show, and then it really helps us
I don't think
out.
It does anything.
Oh, okay. In that case, thanks. Dave, as a parent, how about a fucking united front?
Just the opportunity to humiliate.
You know what? You know, just show Dave what's what, and why don't you rate the show anyway? There you go. And Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Say hi to us. We enjoy.
Well, leave the comment because they're fun to read.
Yeah, and the comments are fun to read. And those of you sometimes you leave a comment and then go, "I want to take my comment off because it was bad." Your comments aren't bad. It's fine. So it's just fine. We'll leave the comments on. Okay, that's it for us. This has been episode 86. I think next episode we're probably going to try episode 87.
I think so.
We're going to keep this linear thing going.
Yes.
And then I think after 87, straight to 100. Fuck it. We're not going to do the rest. We're just going to skip right to all the really great anniversaries. After that, 150. Fuck the next 50. Just right to 150. And then the 1,000th episode.
You just haven't earned it yet, baby.
Fair enough. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
Take care of yourselves and have a sneaky day.
Goodbye.
Her loving is the medicine that saved me. my baby.
It's good to have you back again.
Okay, Dave's just making something up. What you might be thinking is Agent 99, who Maxwell Smart married.